There's an entire segment of the stock market that could potentially supercharge your returns. But a lot of investors either completely ignore it, overlook it, or don't have exposure. Today, we're diving into the world of small caps, why they matter, and how they've historically outperformed large caps over the long term. But most importantly, whether they deserve a place in your portfolio. So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, welcome back, Wealth Decisions listeners and any new listeners out there today. Today, we're going to talk about an asset class that I think can really supercharge your portfolio over the long term. Now, it all depends on your stage in life, but the younger you are, the more exposure you should have to this asset class. Today, we're talking about small caps. But let's start just with a quick definition. Small cap companies, or small companies, typically have a market capitalization between $300 million and $2 billion. You know, think of market cap as the total value of all a company's shares. To put this in perspective, you know, Apple, one of the largest companies, and NVIDIA and Microsoft are also right around the corner. Apple is worth about $3 trillion in market cap. That's about 1,500 times larger than the typical small cap company. But remember, Apple once was a small cap. Now, why should you care about small caps? Let's just look at a hypothetical example. Imagine in 1985, you're considering investing in either IBM, an established blue chip company, or a small computer company called Microsoft. A $10,000 investment in IBM would be worth about $150,000 today, which is a really good return. But that same $10,000 invested in Microsoft would be worth over $20 million. Now, obviously, that's hindsight. Not every small cap company becomes Microsoft or Apple or NVIDIA. But this illustrates the growth potential, you know, that small companies can offer. And here's what makes small caps so special. First, they have a lot more room to grow. You know, if a $1 trillion company wants to double in size, they need to generate another $1 trillion in shareholder value. A $500 million company only needs to add another $500 million, which is a much more achievable goal. You know, last week I compared small caps and mid caps and large caps to a home, like small caps being a fixer-upper, mid caps being a mid-size home in a growing neighborhood, and large caps of being some type of mansion. Now, I mentioned last week that, you know, a mansion may have limited, you know, upside. But as we've seen with companies like Apple or NVIDIA or Microsoft, they hit $1 trillion market cap, and they went on to hit $2 trillion, and they went on to hit $3 trillion. So large caps are a very important part of a portfolio and can still grow and still have a lot of upside if they continue to generate shareholder value and build their company successfully. But small caps have a lot more upside potential, but they also have some risks. Small caps tend to be overlooked by large institutional investors. I talked about this last week, how mid-sized companies tend to be overlooked by like a capital appreciation fund or these big money managers that are looking for growth opportunities. You know, many mutual funds and pension funds can't invest a significant amount in these companies because they're too small. And this creates opportunities for individual investors like you and me to find, you know, undervalued companies before maybe the big money piles in. But there's a big but. Small caps come with their own set of risks. You know, they're way more volatile than large caps. You know, during the 2008 financial crisis, for instance, small caps as a group fell about 36% more than the broader market. You need to be prepared for these kind of swings. But they're an important part of a diversified portfolio. Most investors should have anywhere from 5 to 15% exposure in small caps. If you're approaching retirement or retired, that weighting should be closer to 5. If you're in your 30s or 40s, potentially 10 to 15% of your portfolio should be in small caps. JP Morgan and Ibbotson Charts put out asset class returns that give you kind of a nice graphic, color-coded graphic of what asset classes did the best each year, what asset classes were in the top three, and what asset classes were near the bottom. And from 2010 to 2024, you know, large caps were the best asset class 4 times, but they had 10 times when they were in the top three. Small caps were the best performing asset class 4 times from 2010 to 2024, and they had 7 times where they were in the top three. You know, last week we talked a little bit about where the puck is going. Where are the most attractive opportunities in the market today? And I talked about JP Morgan's valuations by style chart. And it looks at the forward PE as a percentage of the 20-year PE. And the PE, I didn't explain this last week, is the price to earnings multiple. It's kind of like a thermometer of different parts of the market. And when you look at small caps, and we'll talk about small cap value first, the forward PE as a percentage of the 20-year average PE, small cap value is trading at about 96.1%. Small cap blend is trading at about 104.2%. Small cap growth is trading at about 140.9%. So when you look at the disparity between value and growth, growth seems to be overvalued, but small cap value looks to be undervalued. And I talked a little bit about some of the evaluations of mid-cap value and mid-cap blend last week being a pretty appropriately valued in today's market versus large cap value, large cap blend, and large cap growth being slightly overvalued. What I talked about last week is that the market tends to revert to the mean, and this is in all asset classes. You know, the first episodes of this series, I talked about emerging markets and international. And the U.S. has dominated for about 15 years in terms of their returns. And really, when you look at the long term, things shift about every 4 to 6 years, where different parts of the world do better than others. What's happened recently is international and emerging markets has started to do better, and international markets have outperformed the U.S. over the last 6 months or so. But small caps and mid caps have not done the greatest lately. But when you look at any type of situation where things revert to the mean, the returns on small caps over the long term have been about 12%. But lately, the last 10 years, they've been about half that return. Does that mean small caps are going to go back to earning an average rate of return of 12%? I don't have a crystal ball, but things tend to revert to the mean. And the opportunities today are more prevalent in small cap value and mid cap value. That's where valuations are the most attractive, and that's where you get a little bit better risk reward situation if you're going to invest new money. So investing in small caps definitely has their risks, but it should be part of your portfolio if you want the best chance to reach your long-term goals with a diversified portfolio. I talked about how much you should have. It all depends on your particular situation. But let's talk a little bit about just some guidelines, some actionable strategies that you can take this week to implement a small cap strategy in your portfolio. First of all, review your current portfolio and find out if you have any small cap exposure. You know, many investors are really surprised to find that they have less than 5% allocated to small caps or zero. Even in some of their target date funds, the small cap exposure may be very, very small. Number two, consider a small cap index fund or a small cap ETF as your core small cap holding. It could be as simple as just finding a good small cap blend ETF that blends both growth and value. But like I said earlier, the opportunity today seems to tilt a little bit more towards small cap value. So look for small cap blend funds or small cap value funds that have that in their name. It'll say small cap value or small cap blend, or it just might say small cap core. And make sure the expense ratio is less than 0.25%. This is going to give you broad exposure to the small cap asset class without trying to pick, you know, individual winners. And number three, if you decide to add small caps, do it gradually. Consider dollar cost averaging into your target allocation over 6 to 12 months, especially in a market like this where you have a lot of volatility. This will allow you to smooth out the ride a little bit and take advantage of the market's ups and downs over the next 6 to 12 months. Just always remember that a diversified portfolio should have a mix of all the different asset classes to give you broad diversification and the best chance to reach your long-term goals. You know, small caps aren't mandatory for a successful portfolio, but they're worth considering as part of an investment strategy. Whether you should have 5%, 10, or 15% all depends on your individual risk tolerance and your financial goals. Next week, we're going to talk about what some of the wealthiest investors in history have made their fortunes with. And it's not any asset class that we've talked about so far in this series. So that's it for today's episode. Do you own small caps in your investment portfolio? Would love if you pre-ordered my new book, Momentous Decisions, 7 Steps to Better Health, More Wealth, and a Richer Life. This has been a long lifetime goal of mine to put out a book. It's everything I've learned about habit change, health, wealth, and life, all wrapped up in one book with a 7-step plan to help you live a life closer to exceptional. If you'd like to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to momentouswealthadvisors.com/book. And at the bottom of that page, there'll be a pre-order link, and it'll be out sometime in early August. And if you like this episode, please rate the episode, make some comments, and hit the notification bell to get updated on future Wealth Decision podcasts. And please, if you could, share it with a family member or a friend. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people by the end of the year in the Twin Cities and beyond, so that people can make better wealth decisions to live a richer life. If you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, you can go to my website at momentouswealthadvisors.com, and I'll spend some time to get to know you a little bit and find out if I might be able to steer you in the right direction or help you with your financial future. And once again, thanks for listening, and have a great week.